I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Adam Burr, who is a PhD student of mine. He now is working for the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. We conducted a paired watershed study that was funded by the USDA CSREES. It's located about 2 hours southeast of the Twin Cities. We used the Russell model on cells of either 10 by 10 or 30 by 30 meter dimensions in 220 field management units that we had surveyed. We surveyed every farmer in these two watersheds that we worked in. We obtained the digital elevation models at these scales using standard USGS products and stereo photos that we flew with an airplane. We compared these results from the cell-based Russell modeling with Russell modeling based on the field units themselves. So these are much larger units. And our overall objective is to look at the relative impact of small areas on water quality at the watershed scale. So here's the outline of our two watersheds. They're each about 2,300 hectares in area, and the survey information that we collected from the farmers in these watersheds covers about 84% of the total area. We identified all management practices relating to erosion, including residue management, planting, harvesting, tillage. And we created GIS layers for each of the factors that we needed in the revised USLE. LS factors for each cell were estimated based on the DEMs, and then at the field scale we took the maximum slope steepness and average slope length, so that may be a fairly high estimate for the field scale. And then for each scale we just used the farm practices survey to estimate the C factors for the USLE. The P factors were all one. And then we had Sergo level data to estimate soil erodibilities. We used a distance-based sediment delivery ratio from the edge of the field or from the cell to the watershed outlet to estimate sediment delivery to the mouth of the watershed. As far as the inputs of Russell were concerned, we used a two-year management rotation based on surveys in 2002 and 2003 and historic average yields for each management unit. Our survey showed that on the soybean residue, there was a lot of chisel plowing going on, a lot of chisels and discs, and so there wasn't really much residue left in the soybean residue. With the corn residue, there was aggressive moldboard plowing on half of the fields, and then a combination tool, chisel and disc, on the other part. And so again, there wasn't much residue. And you can see these in our residue surveys that we did for each field. On average, in the soybean residue, only about 10% of the area was in what we'd call conservation tillage, and only about 15% of the area for the corn residue. We installed some best management practices in the treated part of the watershed. 68% of the area that would have been moldboard plowed was converted to a multi-tool in the first year, and 73% in the second year. And we did no-till fall plowing on soybean residue on about 10% of the area. And so we increased the amount of residue considerably by implementing BMPs in the treated watershed, which is this one here. This just shows the slope steepness that we estimated using the digital elevation models. So any of these steep areas that are near the drainage ditch would be candidate areas to deliver sediment to the mouth of the watershed. You can see erosion rates based on the 10 by 10 meter cells here. Looks fairly similar to the previous slide, except that we now have a little bit higher erosion rates in some of the flatter parts of the field. So the 30 by 30 meter cells really kind of missed some of the erosion rates in the flatter parts of the watershed. So here's a map showing the 30-meter erosion rates. So you can see they don't really show all the detail in the flat areas. If we look at the areas with erosion that's one standard deviation from the mean using the 30-meter DEMs, these yellow areas are the ones that have the highest rates of erosion. You can see their spatial locations relative to the ditch, and of course the ones that are close to the ditch have a higher chance of actually contributing to the overall water quality problems here, whereas high erosion rates far from the ditch are not really going to be as much of a problem. We did a cumulative distribution on erosion rates based on these cell-by-cell analyses to look at the proportion of the watershed with less than T in terms of erosion rates. So you can see here that roughly 95% of the watershed has erosion rates that are less than T. So small areas are really generating the majority of erosion. If you look at the median loss, it's really very, very low compared to these small areas that are contributing large amounts. If we put that into numbers, the areas that exceed the soil loss tolerance value based on the 10 by 10 meter cells, about on average 6% of the area was generating roughly 23% of the sediment load at the mouth of the watershed. And if we use the 30 by 30 meter cells, roughly 4% of the watershed was generating something like 18-19% of the sediment load. So small areas are generating fairly large amounts of sediment. If we go to the field scale and we do the same kind of analysis, the results really change a lot. This is the more typical kind of analysis that people do, and you can see here that about 29% of the watershed would have generated very large amounts of erosion for this particular analysis at this particular scale. And so the results in terms of trying to estimate where erosion is coming from on the landscape really depend on what scale you're looking at. And this scale is probably not the scale you want to be using when you're really trying to identify where the critical areas are on the landscape. If we look at the distribution of erosion rates based on the field units, you can see this map here. So the higher erosion rates are the redder and oranger fields, and the lower erosion rates are the bluer and greener fields. And again, this gives you an overall idea of where these higher erosion rates are occurring relative to the drainage ditches. Relative to implementation of best management practices, these purple and sort of, I don't know, not good with colors, but the reds and the pinks and the purples are all the fields where we actually made a change or an improvement in tillage practices to try and reduce erosion. So obviously we're not able at the farm scale, you know, to really target some of those small areas, but we did try our best. These are the measured amounts of sediment coming out of the mouth of the watershed for 3 years. The averages are about 500 to 700 megagram. These are not megagrams per year. These are kilograms per year. And that's right. These are megagrams per year for the entire watershed. And these are the estimated sediment loads delivered to the mouth of the watershed based on the different resolution data that we had for DEMs. And they compare fairly well, although I'd say that these numbers probably are a little bit better than the 30-meter DEM numbers, but there's not a lot of differences there. When we look at the modeled reductions in sediment delivery using the BMPs that we installed, we see that we should have had about a 41% reduction in sediment delivery using the conservation tillage. We also installed filter strips, which I didn't talk about here. When we measured the sediment in the water at the mouth of the watershed, we didn't see a 41% reduction. In fact, what we estimated, this is the reduction from the edge of the field, this is the reduction in delivery to the mouth of the watershed. However, we didn't observe any measured reductions at the mouth of the watershed, and that's because We had a very short time frame for the study. We only had 4 years of monitoring data. We couldn't install the BMPs exactly where the highest erosion rates were occurring. And there was a lot of differences in rainfall between the treated and the control watershed that made it difficult to evaluate the impacts of the BMPs. Nevertheless, the statistical distributions of the Russell 2 input data are almost always skewed with respect to small areas that have higher risks. And at the field scale, 16% of the area contributed 29% of the sediment load. Using the 30 by 30 meter grids, 4% contributed 18% of the sediment load. And if we use the finest scale resolution available, 6% contributed 23% of the sediment load. And it seems to us that these are the areas we really need to begin targeting to try and get some reductions in sediment delivery to the mouth of the watershed. Thank you very much.
Do you have time for questions for David?
Seth? Okay, we were estimating erosion in the squares using Russell and then applying a sediment delivery factor based on distance of the cell to the mouth of the watershed. So the sediment delivery to the mouth of the watershed is based on the Russell estimate plus the distance from that cell to the mouth of the watershed. And we have an exponentially kind of decreasing model for that.